So I want everybody to stop for a minute. Stop in the name of love. Remember that old song? Okay. Well, I want you, everybody, to hold up your first finger here, your pointer finger. Everybody hold up your pointer finger. Thelma, hold up your pointer finger. Pat Thelma, I'm using the microphone. Hold up your pointer finger. Okay, so we hold up our pointer finger because in the movie City Slickers, does anybody remember that? You can put your fingers down now. But you can praise God. Hey, God. Okay. Curly in the movie City Slickers explains the meaning of life. He said, he held up his finger and he said, it's about one thing. You stick to that and everything else doesn't mean anything. So you're going to ask me, well, what's the one thing? Only you know what it is. And we're going to find out today what that one thing might be. We all have one thing. Don't you ever say that sometimes? Here it comes again. It's always the same thing over and over again. It's happening again. So we have something always going on. I think that's a good thing. That means we need the Lord. If I had everything working out perfectly and great every day, I wouldn't need Jesus. I wouldn't need the Holy Spirit. I'd go and do my thing. That's what happened with the Israelites. They would do so well and be blessed, but they forgot the one God. They forgot him. So then things would go bad because God said, okay, let us go through this trial and let them learn a little bit about who I am. And sure enough, they call on him again in trials. Isn't that when we call on God a lot of the times is when we're having a problem? I have a visual. I do have one today. Okay, I don't have 17. I have one. And it's this. My husband gave this to me a while back because he says I needed a paddle. He didn't give me two. He gave me one. Now, when you're doing one, what happens? You go in a circle. The other one is Jesus. He's the one that balances out my paddle. He's the one that I need. Okay? So I hope that let that sit there as I go forward. We all have that one thing. Do you have a one messy bathroom or a one messy closet or a one messy room? I do. There's just that one messy junk drawer. There's always one something out of order. There's a reason for that. It's a good thing. We need to recognize what our one thing is. And I'm going to talk a little bit about God's in a minute, but we're going to look at ours. Most of us want to get free from that one thing. I don't want it happening anymore. I want to be free from it. Anything that controls you, you need to get rid of. That could be your one thing. People who are addicts, their one thing is addictions. Does God want you to just hang out in your addiction? No, he wants you to get rid of that one thing. But working with the Lord in that one thing is going to bring you out. But here's the interesting part, everybody. You get to have another one thing following it. We're never going to arrive until the Lord takes us home because we always are going to have to work on something. Does that make sense? We all have something we're going to work on because then we stay humble and we stay needing Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6:12 says this, all things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under any to have power over me. So is that one thing controlling you? Or is that one thing blessing you? Okay? Does anybody binge TV? I know during COVID, I bet a lot of us did. I'm talking to Janet yesterday, and I told her about this series, and I go, you're where? You've been watching what? How many a day? Because I remembered where she was in that show. She goes, oh yeah, I'm watching four or five shows a day. You know, so sometimes we do, but of course, if it's a controlling mechanism, then of course we've got a problem. We're having fun though, aren't we, Janet? How about a neighbor that's kind of causing you some problems? How about a situation you find yourself in, it just keeps coming up? You think you dealt with it and it just keeps coming up. Work. Wow. There's always something. What about irritants? That could be your one thing. A boss, an uncomfortable situation, a child, a family member. Okay, let's take a look at Adam and Eve, because this one thing I'm talking about is the apple. Now I know that in the Bible it says the forbidden fruit. So we don't know exactly what that is. But in James 4:17 it says, if you know it is wrong and you do it, to you it is sin. There's your one thing. They were told, Adam and Eve was told not to eat the forbidden fruit. The forbidden fruit with Eve, her weakness was she wanted to know. Okay, is there anybody in here that just wants to know everything? We came from Eve, people, so we're going to want to know, especially women. We want to know. Tom's in the kitchen, his back's towards me, and I'm looking around his shoulder trying to see what he's doing in the kitchen, and he does this. And then I go, I turn around and it goes like this. He goes, you just want to see what I'm doing. He's making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. What does he need me for? I just want to know what he's doing. So sometimes we just need to know. We just want to know. And that's my one thing. Knowing can get you into trouble. In Ecclesiastes it says, the more you know, the more sorrow you will have. So I want to know nothing. You know that James 4:17 that says about to you it is sin and it's something wrong. Okay, Tom can walk on the grass that says do not walk on grass. He doesn't have a problem. I gotta walk around. Okay, there it is. I'll be right there, and I have to walk way around to get to where he's at, because I won't walk on the grass, because it says not to walk on the grass. So he can do things that he wants to do in his way, and I have to follow my own conscience and follow what I'm going to do. It's funny, because every time we cross the street, I grab his hand. He goes, oh, we're crossing the street. I go, yeah, I just feel safer when I grab his hand. So 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26 says, we need to know the truth about our one thing so we can recover ourselves from that one thing, whatever it is to you. Now, I have a graphic. I'm pretty sure you know what this is. You know what this is? It's the apple of... Well, I did a little research on how did they come up with this name. And one of the areas was the apple of wisdom from the Ark of the Garden of Eden. Yikes. I almost want to get rid of my apple stuff now. Because it's true. Of course, there was other reasons, there were other things, but I thought I'd grab that one. So Eve's apple, for a lack of a better word, was she wanted to know. Genesis 3:6 says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave it to her husband, and he also ate. So she wanted to be wise. She knew, oh, if I eat that, I can be wise. I can know some things. Eve's weakness was that she wanted to know. But there's a good news. There's some good news in our weakness. In our weakness, the Bible says, he is strong. Who is he? The Lord. There is a plan. All these weaknesses, all these things that we're dealing with, all this one thing. James 1:2-8 says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. We need to get to a place where we don't want anything, because we know God's provided. That's a person that's walking in faith, I'll tell you. So we have to count it all joy. What? It is that one thing that I'm having to go through every single time I turn around. 1 Peter 1:7 says this, wherein you greatly rejoice, though just for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptation. This is a season, people. It's just a season. It'll pass. But that season is here that one thing is here to say, do I trust the Lord in this? Am I going to believe what he's telling me? Or am I going to run around, look on the internet, ask a friend, yell and scream, get all depressed? It makes us depend upon God. We talked about that in Sunday school a few weeks ago about if we had everything perfectly right, we wouldn't need God. Isn't that true, though? I mean, we would know he's there, and we would say, hi, God, but we wouldn't need him. He wants to be needed. He wants to be needed. Don't you want to be needed? You know, I know a man's personality. I studied a little bit, living with one for 31 years, that there's a need, and he loves to feel the need. That's what men love to do. They love to see the problem and fix it. And I remember one time I was so sick, and I've been sick for several years, and we were talking, and I said, Tom, I free you from the responsibility of fixing me. I release you from fixing me. I'm God's job. Let's just fellowship. Let's just love one another and pray. It relieved, like he said, the big old thing lifted off his shoulders because I released him from the responsibility that I didn't even know he had. That's supposed to be the Lord's responsibility. So now we come together as kids and go to Father, you see. So you better take a deep breath because you're going to always have one thing. A little leaven leavens the whole lump, too, by the way. If you have that one thing and it's pretty messy, it's going to mess up a lot of people around you, too. So make sure that what your one thing is godly, righteous, pure. Anything that is not, that controls you. Remember, Paul says, I let nothing control me. You need to repent and go to the Lord through prayer. Let him work on it. That's your one thing. Let's look at Paul's one thing for a second. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that lie behind and reach forth to those things which are before. He's learned. He needs to let some things go in the past. He had a wretched life. He killed a lot of Christians, did a lot of stuff. He put that all behind him because he's stretching forward. We have to let go of our issues. 2 Timothy 3:11 says, Paul had many afflictions, tests, and turmoils, but God delivered him out of them all. But he had to go through them one at a time. Paul had a battle. 1 Corinthians 12:7 through 8. Now here's the part about the thorn. Okay, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn of the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this one thing, is what I added, I besought the Lord three times that it might depart from me, and it didn't. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. I'm going to leave that one thing there because it's going to help you. Trust me, believe me, work with me, confide in me, follow me. Some of us think that the messenger of this thorn could have been a fleshly thing, but personally I don't. I believe it's a spiritual thing because he says a messenger of Satan in the flesh. The flesh is the man. The man. Could be the areas of anger, fear, jealousy, rebellion, and pride. And I believe Paul had a little bit of rebellion and pride as his thorn. Even Jesus said that. The Lord said in Acts 9:4, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, I have to tell you, that word threw me off because I used to use it a long time ago, but it wasn't biblical. But this is what it means. Stop kicking against the pricks. In other words, stop fighting with God's plan for your life. I'm going to read this to you. This is the definition of that particular thing. An ox goad, which is the prick, was a stick with a pointed piece of iron on its tip used to prod the oxen when plowing. The farmer would prick the animal to steer it in the right direction. Sometimes the animal would rebel by kicking out at the prick, and this would result in it being driven deeper into its flesh. In essence, the more an ox rebelled, the more it suffered. Thus, Jesus' word to Saul on the road to Damascus, "It's hard for you to kick against the pricks," is talking about his rebellion and a losing battle with God. You better just get on board, people. Stop fighting the machine, is what they say, right? Stop thinking that this battle is a weakness that is bad. In our weakness, he is strong. He will show himself strong. Share your battle with another. I shared mine with Greg the other night. We were walking outside and I told him, you know, I wanted to get a gun permit. And I was practicing with my husband the other day and shooting in our shooting range. I couldn't pull the cocking mechanism back because my fingers hurt because of the little arthritis. I said, I can't do this anymore. So I told Greg about it. I have this pain. He goes, I got a remedy. I would never have learned that remedy unless I shared my one thing with somebody. Now I'm excited because I think it's going to change my life. Thank you, Greg. See, we need to share our one thing with people. Don't hold it in. The more you hold something in, it becomes secretive. It has power over you. Let it out. David had a one thing. He says in Psalm 27:4, one thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. See, David's one thing was that he realized he needed the Lord, because then the Lord would reveal to him his heart issues. So what is your one thing? What is your irritant? What is your thorn? What is your forbidden fruit? What keeps you humble? Mine is chocolate. I have to tell you, I'm sorry, my friend. I loved your chocolate, but it put me in bed for 3 days. I'm being honest here. It's not even the chocolate. It's the caffeine in the chocolate. A lot of people eat caffeine or drink caffeine because it helps them with their headaches. I have a coffee headache. I've got to go get some coffee. So you got to keep on drinking your coffee to not have a headache. Well, if I stop eating chocolate, I get a headache. So I have to not have any. You know about that potato chip? You just can't have one. So I just could not have one piece of chocolate. I ate the whole platter. I'm sorry I didn't. I shared it when I could, but I ate it. So what happened? It looked good. Like eat, it looked good. Ooh, it looked good to me. I'm going to eat it. But is everything good for me to eat? No. 1 Corinthians 6:12. Not everything is good for us. So once we recognize what our one thing is, did anybody recognize what your one thing might be? Anybody? Okay. What happens, and I looked online too, I did some research a little bit on about what's the one thing that we do when something messes with us? We reach for something distractive, or just, not destructive, distraction. We reach for something less destructive is what I want to say. So let's say you like alcohol, but you want to stop, so you start eating bread. A person that eats bread is a dry drunk, because it's the same sugar that's going into the bread, that's going into the alcohol. So the addiction is still there. You haven't gotten free. So it's still controlling you a little bit. So we need to go to Lord in that. That's just something extra I threw out. So there's two things that happens, what we're to do. Recognize it, first of all, what our issue is. Reach for something less destructive to replace it. And here's the one I like. Wait it out. You can have victory over the devil when you outweigh the devil. When you start to suck into it and work with it and try to figure it out, you aren't winning. You need to wait on God in that time. Outweigh the devil. And there's three things God will do if you're waiting on God. He's going to change the situation. He's going to change your heart in the situation. Or he's going to remove the situation. Three things. That's it. But we have to wait. Outwait the devil. Paul's thorn was a weakness, wasn't it? Something that tempered him. Like I said earlier, I always have something that I have to work on. And now I have a house and I have 3 bedrooms and whatever, and I have stairs, downstairs, but there's always one room out of sorts, always. And I feel like if I go in there and clean it up, I think it's gonna like push it to another room. So I leave that one room alone. It's like a balloon. You know how you have that long, skinny balloon and you hit one side and the other side gets big, and then you hit this side and the other side gets big? There's always something going on. There's that one thing. And that's why I had to sing One Day at a Time. That's why we sing about a one this morning. And I was sharing this message with Tom this morning. He was laying in bed still. I was dressed, ready to go. And I just kind of gave him a 5-minute synopsis of what I was going to talk about today. And you know what he said? This is one of his quotes. As I'm leaving, going outside, he says, "You don't have that one thing, you have nothing." That's Tom. I said, that's you, all right. Nehemiah 8, 9 through 10 says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength to face that one thing that keeps us humble." See, in Nehemiah, they mourned after hearing the word of God. They go, "Oh, we're doing so horrible." And they were crying and crying and crying about it. He said to them, "Go your way. Eat the fat and drink the sweet and send portions to them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So when we're in that place where, "Oh, I'm so horrible. What did I do wrong?" And you're crying, no. Stop and say, "No, I'm going to go and eat. I'm going to go enjoy myself, because the joy of the Lord is my strength." James 4:10, I like this passage. "Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." But if you don't have anything to be humble in, how will he lift you up? That is a good thing, to have a little weakness in our life. We go through things for a season, for a reason. So what is God? Now, God has an apple. Did you know that God has an apple? You are his apple. You are the apple of his eye. Psalm 17, 7 through 9 says, "Show thy marvelous kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand, them that put their trust in thee, from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of your eye, and hide me in the shadow of your wings, from the wicked that oppress me, from the deadly enemies who come past me about." Zechariah 2:8 says, "For whoever touches you touches the apple of your eye." That's how valuable and precious we are. We all need that one thing to keep us at an even keel. We need that one thing. And you know, we need the one who is Jesus. I'm going to read Zechariah 9:9-10. Zechariah 9:9-10. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king comes unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen. And his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth." That was a proclamation, a prophecy of Jesus coming on his colt, proclaiming peace. And that's what I'm proclaiming to you today. That in this one thing, you find your peace. You get your oar out, but you get Jesus out as well. And everything you face, you won't go in a circle. You'll go forward because he's with you. We all have that one thing. We all need Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit and the will of God working in our lives. In Sunday school today, we talked about wants and needs. And when we get what we need, our wants kind of go away. God fulfills our every need and our heart. I have a song I just want to close with, and then we'll take our offering. This morning, I was getting ready for this message. I hope it's just a simple message of what is that thing that's keeping you tempered, keeping you humble, keeping you seeking God. Maybe it's something controlling you need to talk to God about. But when I was preparing and I turned on the TV to listen to some music, which I don't normally do. I mean, Tom even said, you never listen to music in the morning. I go, no, I do not. Well, I turned it on and the song, One Thing, comes up. And I go, okay, this was the right message for today and this is the right song. And I'm just going to sing an a cappella because it wouldn't work and it was just too long of a song. And I just want to sing the words that are absolutely pertinent to today. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. And on and on and on and on it goes. It overwhelms and satisfies my soul. And I never ever have to be afraid. One thing remains. Yes, one thing. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. And it goes on and on and on and on and on. It overwhelms and satisfies our soul. You never ever have to be afraid, 'cause that one thing remains, and that's Jesus. You can never fail as long as you have Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and our Father at work in your lives. Recognizing Him every day, recognizing Him in your walk, recognizing Him when you read the Word, that all three are present at all times. Father, thank you so much for your Word. Thank you for a simple message of hope, of recognizing, of self-evaluation, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your blood that covers us, covers our sins, washes us clean. Father, you gave us a paddle to paddle upstream with you, Lord. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name.